5, Romans chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 12, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Father, thank you for the Word of God, and I just pray you'd help us to understand it tonight. Help me to be a blessing. And thank you for everything you've given us, and thank you for your grace. And I just thank you for providing for our needs, and especially our need for salvation. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you look at this passage of Scripture, almost all the time the verse that is most quoted here is Romans 5:12, is where we started at. And it's often quoted because we use that in many times in our soul winning efforts. When we go trying to witness to people, we want to talk about Adam's sin and the fall of man and everything like that. And we point out that all that was necessary was for one man to become a sinner. And because like begets like, that sin nature was passed down to all of us. All right? Some people call it original sin and all that type of stuff, and they have some type of idea that somehow Adam's sin was imputed to us, but it really doesn't have to be imputed to us at all. It simply is. It's what we're born. We're born sinners. That's why that song, I like that song where it says, I once was a sinner, or once was an outcast, I can't remember the a stranger by birth or something like that, a stranger on earth, something like that. I can't, a sinner by choice, an alien by birth. All right, because we were separated from God from that minute of conception, that minute, because of the nature that was passed down to us. And that's what the Bible says. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All right, for the law, until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. So the law was given so that we could see sin for what it was, that man could see that very clearly. But nevertheless, even though man may have made excuses and God may have been gracious in that regard of not dealing with us after our sins in those regards, still we had an understanding of what righteousness was, and there was direction from God about salvation, all of these things, all the way from the fall, where the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. And they looked forward for that Savior coming. But he said, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. And some people, and right there it clearly says that death reigned upon even those that did not sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression. In other words, not Adam's transgression being imputed to us, but that sin nature acting out that we're aliens by birth. And so sin and death reigned because of that. And sin caused death, all the way starting with Cain. Even though Cain had not sinned against God the same way Adam and Eve did, nonetheless, his sin nature came out, didn't it? And he murdered his brother. One generation. And so it was on there. And it said there that who is the figure of him to come. And some people have said that Adam is a type of Christ. And in a way, he is. Jesus is called the last Adam. The last man, if you will. All right. But he said, which is who is a figure of him that was to come. And that picture and the figure is there. That just as Adam's transgression condemned us all, because we all became sinners, we're born sinners, we're born with a sin nature, we're born that way, that all of us can become righteous through Jesus Christ. And it says, he says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Now that kind of seems to be contradictory right there. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Wait a minute, how can it be not as and so also? Have you ever thought about that? But the Scripture explains it. I think we don't ask that question, but the Scripture explains it. He said, for if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And then he says, and not as it was, he does it again, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So it's just the opposite. One sin condemned the entire human race. Even though it wasn't imputed to us, that nature was passed down to us. That's why we don't have to teach our kids to lie. That's why we don't have to teach them to steal things. When they decide they want something, they just go get it. Even if they're not supposed to have it. From an early age. Are some kids more compliant than others? Sure they are. Because everybody's different. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. And it says this, the free gift is of many offenses under justification. In other words, what Christ did covers them all. All sin. All men's sin. And he goes on, he says, for by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now we are supposed to reign in life. Certainly that means eternal life, but what about now? What about right now? Something to think about. And then he says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. In other words, by one offense, one man's offense, right? Judgment came upon all. Condemnation came upon all. All right? But by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. That means that free gift is available to everyone. Now, if you want to teach a limited atonement, you've got a problem with this verse because you have to read something into it. I mean, if you're going to say that Adam's sin condemned every one of us, it's being Christ's sacrifice and on the cross and his payment for sins is being compared directly to that. How can you say there's a limited atonement? How can you say it's only the elect? Christ didn't die for everybody. He just died for the elect. That comes from a faulty understanding of what election is. That's what you get. That's where you have that problem. But here it is. It seriously says this. It says, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Well, many in this case means all. Because one man's sin, disobedience, many were made sinners. How many were made sinners after Adam's disobedience? All of them. And he says, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So how many can be made righteous? Because it's a gift, right? The free gift came upon all. It's a gift, but a gift has to be received, doesn't it? Isn't that the whole point of us getting the gospel out, is try to get people to understand and know about the gift and pray that they receive the gift? Right? That's what we want to do. That's what our soul winning is all about. We want to do that. So the picture is there. It's talking about all men can be saved. And then he says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. In other words, God gave the law so mankind, being removed from the fall, becoming more wicked, could be able to see his sin. The law is a mirror. The law shows us, the Word of God shows us what we are. That's why in Galatians it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. So the law had a purpose. It was there that so that sin would become exceeding sinful. All right? The law entered in for that purpose, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That goes right back to the fact that Christ's death was sufficient not just for Adam's sin, but for all sin. That's one of the reasons I have difficulty with Catholic doctrine of original sin and their doctrine of baptism. When they baptize a baby, you have to baptize the baby to get rid of, quote, original sin. No, water doesn't get rid of a sin nature. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. So that's the point. And I'll say this: the Church of Christ, I have a problem with their doctrine too, because they teach baptismal regeneration as well. Baptism's part of your salvation. No, it's not. If baptism was part of the gospel. All right, if baptism is important for obedience, but it's necessary for obedience, but not necessary for salvation. And the simple fact is, if it was, Paul could have never said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That statement would be foolish for Paul to say such a thing. But the Bible is inspired scripture. And the Bible says salvation is a figure. It doesn't put away the filth of the flesh. And when the Bible says, you know, having therefore these promises in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Can we agree that when it says the filth of the flesh, it's not talking about the dirt on your skin? Because remember, Jesus told when they got upset because his disciples hadn't washed their hands before they ate, he told them it's not what goes in the mouth that defiles a man, what comes out of him that defiles him. Right? He said, to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So we're not talking about the filth of the skin. We're talking about the filth of the spirit. The flesh is talking about that old nature, that carnal nature that battles in us now. But all of those things that happened there, it said that when God gave the law, it entered that the offense might abound. That by the law sin might become exceeding sinful, it says in another place. And therefore, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And when man sees his sin for what it is and believes God about it, that's when grace can actually do something for you. Because until you see yourself a sinner, you're not going to see the need for grace. If you think you're righteous, well, what need have you for grace? If you think you're going to heaven based on your works, what need have you of grace? If you think you've worked or earned your way into heaven, what need have you of a gift of righteousness? And that is really what salvation is. Christ's righteousness is imputed unto us. We're found in Him, not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. All right, that's what we have there, as Paul said in the book of Philippians. And so we look at that, and he says, but he gets at verse 21, and he says, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, sin reigned and ruled through what? Death. And there's two sides of death, isn't there? There's physical death, the death of this body, right? But there's a second death, isn't there? Which is the lake of fire. So there's two sides of that. Sin reigned, people died, their bodies failed, sickness came, murder came, all the things that caused death in this world came because of sin, because of the sin of men. There's a lot of things that happened because of the sin of men. Our climate, you know, they talk about climate change, right? Well, the climate changed after the flood, sure enough did, right? But why did the flood come? Because of the sin of men. The wickedness of man. The earth was filled with violence through them. And how many people were left over when it was all done? 8. And had God not acted, would there have been 8? So God acted to do what? To preserve the lineage of the Messiah. And we have all kind of things going on today that are a result of the flood, the hurricanes, the all this type of stuff. But you know, the funny thing about it is, man now is trying to find ways, and has been for a long time, and there's always these things about chemtrails and everything else that are going on, and some of it may be conspiracy, some of it may be true. There's people claim they have proof of it, that they're trying to manipulate the weather, that they're doing things. And you know what? You know what it brings? Death. I mean, we could spend a lot of time, a lot of things we do, a lot of our medicine. I mean, everything that man touches has death attached to it, doesn't it? And that's what sin does. It reigns through death. But, he says, even so that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace, sin reigns through death. Grace reigns through righteousness. And God's grace is there, and in God's grace, the blood of Jesus pays the penalty for our sins. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree, and He suffered the penalty for our sins. He rose from the dead, proving He paid it in full. And now we sit here and we look forward to having, and we say we have, through faith in Him, eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Right? So through our faith, we have eternal life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, right? And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So we've got that promise of eternal life, but God's grace is not just about eternity, it's about now. Is death about eternity? Absolutely. But it's also about now, isn't it? Likewise, grace is not just about eternity, it's about now. That's why in the very next verse in chapter 6, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So we are to endeavor not to live in sin. And the means by which we do that is grace. God's grace. In the same chapter, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. In other words, we access that great God's grace by faith, by believing His word, by trusting Him. And that is how grace reigns. Grace is supposed to do something in our lives. It is there so that we can live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world while we're looking for the coming of our Lord. That's the whole point of grace. And unfortunately, that's not being taught. And when we go back to the lesson we're doing in Sunday school, and we're talking about people being filled with the Spirit, and all the things that we're talking about that, you know, the goal is, obviously, of that lesson is to be able to recognize what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Because there's so many crazy ideas about that, and so many things that are grabbed, one thing's grabbed hold of, and a lot of things are left behind. And you know, the problem is that this goes hand in hand with that. To be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with the grace of God. And so when we look at that, we talk about all this, we have to understand that God's intent is for grace to reign through righteousness. Grace to rule through righteousness. How do we know that sin's ruling? Death. How do we know that grace is ruling? Righteousness. If you look at a person's life, and it's, you know, if you go in another place, he said, I'm trying to remember where he said, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Trying to remember where that passage of scripture was, but he said, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, in other words, you put the deeds of the flesh to death, you allow grace to reign. And the evidence of that is righteousness. Doing the right thing for the right reason. You can do a lot of right things for the wrong reason. If you do something out of self-righteousness, it's the wrong reason. If you do something so you can puff out your chest and pat yourself on the back about how righteous you are, wrong reason. That's an affront to God. That's why when Jesus told the story of the Pharisee and the publican, he spake this parable, what? To those they that trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And he put a righteous Pharisee who come up there and started talking about how good he was and all the things he did and telling God everything he did against a publican, a tax collector, who wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. And all he could say was, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And he said he went down justified. But we've got the idea, we glory in the publican. We glory in that publican. We say, man, that publican, he was just no good. He couldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He was just that sorry. But you know, he just said, Lord, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm a sinner. I need your mercy. And we glory in that. But the story isn't just the story. That's just to show us that we don't have anything to hang our hat on other than the shed blood of Christ for our righteousness. But the moral of the story is he went down to his house justified. Not justified in his sin. Justified from his sin. There's a difference. I think we kind of do that with 1 John 1:9. We want to be justified in our sin, not justified from our sin. But the whole point of coming and confessing our sin to God and seeking His mercy and seeking forgiveness is so that we can pick up and change, isn't it? Isn't that the whole point of it? It's so that grace can reign and not sin. Why else do we seek forgiveness? Why else do we need to seek forgiveness? Well, because the wages of sin is death. So when we come as believers and we call upon the Lord and we confess our sin, when we do these things, then guess what happens? If we do this the right way, it's we're seeking God's grace, and the evidence that we've received it is righteousness. Not just on the outside, but on the inside too. We begin to do the right thing for the right reason. We begin to believe God. We take steps in the right direction. And God's grace is amazing. You know, it said right there, He said, free gift came upon all men to justification of life. It says that the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So that means that that's why the Bible says a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. We don't have to quit because we fail. We can get back up and start walking back in the correct direction. And if we fall down 100 times, we ought to get up 100 times. And I know we like to look at ourselves, and the devil likes to come with condemnation, and the flesh makes us feel like we don't deserve it. Well, you already know you don't deserve it. If you deserved it, it wouldn't be grace. But this idea of somehow being comforted by God's grace in our sin, well, I'm just a sinner, and I'm always going to be a sinner, but I'm sure glad I'm going to go to heaven one day, but I'm not going to try to hit a lick down here, because I mean, I can't talk about Jesus because I made such a mess of my life. Can't tell anybody about Jesus because of that. I've done a lot of things wrong. Well, there's a whole lot the Bible says about that too. If we've sinned against a brother, what are you supposed to do about it? You're supposed to do the right thing, aren't you? You're supposed to humble yourself, seek His forgiveness too. I mean, we could go down the whole list and the whole idea of all the interactions that we have in life. But the goal is that grace would reign. People need to see the grace of God. And you know as well as I do, when the world looks at us and they see us being no different, they don't like it when we're different. They do not like it when we do what's right. They don't like it when you stand on righteousness. It upsets them, makes them angry. When you do the right thing. But trust me, when we act like they act and acquiesce to their complaints, they turn on you again because now you're the hypocrite. I'm just as good as you are. Why do I need your religion? Right? It's all justification. But at least if they're angry at you for righteousness' sake, at least you're giving them a chance to go to heaven. Because they can see the results of grace, and the results of grace is righteousness. I'm not talking about self-righteousness. I'm talking about righteousness. I'm talking about actually being godly in your character and doing the right thing. And we have to learn. We have to grow into that. That's why we're told to grow, but this is the whole thing. All of that comes by us growing up to the point to where we allow grace to reign in our life. And grace is not just something we talk about. It's something people ought to be able to see in us. They ought to be able to see a change. You say, well, I've already blown it. Well, get up and start again. It's of many offenses under justification. Not just one. That's one of the reasons why when the devil comes along saying, you blew it, it's over for you, I say nope, because the Bible says it's of many offenses under justification. He didn't just die for one of my sins, He died for all of my sins. He didn't just die for my past sins, He died for my present sins. Matter of fact, He died for my future sins. Now that may be a scary way to say about that. Well, if Jesus already paid for all your sins, why do you care? Just go do what you want to do. No. No, 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 no. That's a wicked attitude. Let me ask you an honest question. If somebody said, I'm going to pay for you to go to college, and they said, I'm just using this as an example off the top of my head, I'm going to pay for you to go to college. And you say, oh, I'm going to go to college. That's good. And so you go and they pay your tuition and they pay your room and board. And then you just sit there and you don't do anything about it. You just decide, I'm gonna go to college for the rest of my life. Did you know there are actually people that are doing that? I had a person I worked with had a family member who had multiple degrees and was constantly applying for government grants and figured a way to game the system and was going to school and lived her life going to school. And she used everything she could. And she just went to school. And did that for decades. Is that righteous or unrighteous? It's unrighteous, isn't it? Common sense. So if somebody paid for your schooling and you just decide, I'm not going to even try to apply myself, I'm just going to stay in school. I'll just keep applying, keep going and everything. And by the way, colleges don't care. They'll take your money. You know, if you have to take a course 50 times, it's fine as long as you pay every time you take the course. They don't care. Well, that's just like me not being concerned about present and future sins. It'd be me like saying, well, Jesus paid for it all, so I'm just going to load the wagon. That's not righteous. It's wicked. Yeah, I understand what happens as far as eternity goes. But eternity is taken care of. We're living now. What do we do now? And again and again and again we look at this. And the whole point is, right, grace reigns through righteousness. That's the evidence that grace is reigning. There's righteousness. There's godliness. There's decency. There's honesty. There's compassion. There's kindness. There's mercy. There's faith. There's temperance. There's meekness. There's long-suffering. There's righteousness. What is reigning in your life? Christ's death on the cross makes it possible for grace to reign, not just to eternal life, but right now. And we know that grace is reigning because of righteousness. That's something we need to be able to understand and see. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close the service tonight. Father, thank you for the Word of God and thank you for each one that's here tonight. Lord, I just pray you'd help us to take the message and use it the way we should. Help us, Father. Sometimes it's one thing to know something and it's another to do something. So help us to not just know these things, but help us to endeavor with all our heart and seeking your grace and by your grace to be doers of your word and not just hearers only. Help us, we pray. Lord, I pray you bless as we conclude the service tonight, and I pray you bring us safely back on the Lord's day. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.